أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. هو الله الذي لا إله إلا هو عالم الغيب والشهادة هو الرحمن الرحيم. هو الله الذي لا إله إلا هو الملك القدوس السلام المؤمن المهيمن العزيز الجبار المتكبر سبحان الله عما يشركون. هو الله الخالق البارئ المصور له الأسماء الحسنى يسبح له ما في السماوات والأرض وهو العزيز الحكيم. And he is Allah with whom there is no other God, but he knows all that is secret and open, and he is most compassionate, most merciful. And he is Allah with whom there is no other God, and he is the sovereign, the pure, the source of all peace, and the bestower of security, and the guardian. He is exalted in might, most powerful and supreme. Glory be to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is high above the partners that they associate to him. He is Allah, the creator, and the one that creates and originates with perfection. The tower of all shape and form, to him belongs all the beautiful names. Whatever is in the heavens and the earth, all glorify and praise him. He is exalted in might and most, he is exalted in might and full of wisdom. When we say Allah Ta'ala is As-Salam, he is the source of all peace. Peace as opposed to conflict, then all peace comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He allows the peace to prevail, and if he wishes, he removes the peace from a people, from a person, from an individual. So it is he that is the source of all peace. And when we say salam, we could also refer that he is perfect. There is no deficiency, no weakness within Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the provider of all security and peace. Then the one that takes care and guards his creation. He hasn't just created them and abandoned them, rather after creating them, he takes care of them as well. Then he is the supreme, mutakabbir. Nobody else can claim supremacy. Anybody is claiming supremacy and he claims greatness for himself, then he's wrong, he's a liar, he's dishonest. Because that greatness, that supremacy is really Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's. What a person sees within him is also the gift of Allah ta'ala, not his personal achievement. When it is not his personal achievement and he makes it appear as though it's his own achievement, then he is dishonest, he is lying, and he wants to claim a share in Godhood. So there can't be a person that is evil as him. So supremacy is Allah Ta'ala's alone. And whatever is given to a person is a reflection of the greatness of Allah Ta'ala, not the person's individual achievement. Huwallahu al-Khaliqu al-Bari'u al-Musawwir. And he is the creator. In other words, he is created. And the origins of creation is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's. That from nothing he has given you existence, he's created you from absolutely nothing. And Bari, the one creates, but creates with perfection. Everything is in proportion, everything is with wisdom that he has created. So there's everything that he's created, but there is a reason, there is a purpose, and there is a wisdom in his creation. It is just for man to reflect, and he will see the wisdom within the creation of Allah Ta'ala. Then he is the bestower of all shapes and forms. The shape that we see, the color and complexion that we notice and observe, the forms that we come across, all are Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's. Men in the creation go mad after these shapes and forms, figures, shapes, forms, complexion. But who is the bestower of all the shapes, this form, this beauty? Who is it? Lahul Asma'ul Husna, to whom belongs all the beautiful names recorded in the Hadith, in the Quran. There are hundreds of them, but 99 are often repeated. And these are the beautiful names we call Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with His beautiful names. That is appropriate for us to call with. Like we want the forgiveness of Allah ta'ala, and we say, إِنَّكَ عَفُوٌ تُحِبُّ الْعَفْوَ. That, oh Allah ta'ala, you are most forgiving, then do forgive us. So, in accordance to what you are requiring, you call Him by that attribute. You want His forgiveness, so you call Him by Ya Afu, Lauma innaka afuun, Ya Ghaffaru. So the type of thing that you want, then you will call Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with that name and then ask for your needs. Then yusabbihu lahu ma fi samawati wal ard, whatever is in the heavens and the earth, all glorify and praise Him. It is reported in the hadith that a person recites A'udhu billahi sami'il alim min ash-shaytanir rajim thrice, and thereafter he recites these three last verses of Surah Hashr, Wallahu alladhi la ilaha illahu, till the end of the surah. Then if he recites this in the morning, 70,000 malaika are engaged in asking for mercy for him. If he dies on that day, then he will die as a shaheed. And if he does the same at night, in the evening, around Maghrib time, then he will get the same reward. 70,000 malaika will make continuously dua for his mercy and for his well-being. And if he dies, then he dies as a shaheed. The next surah is Surah Mumtahina. In the sixth year of the Hijrat was the Surah of Hudaybiyah, the peace treaty that was signed by both sides, people of Makkah, the Quraysh and the Kuffar, with the people of Medina, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam being the head of the people of Medina Munawwara. And it was agreed upon both sides, there will be no fight with both. And if any person joins the alliance with Medina, then he will enjoy the same privileges like the people of Medina. If any person joins the alliance with people of Makkah, then he will also enjoy all those benefits that the people of Makkah Mukarramah will benefit. However, in the seventh year, or at the end of the seventh year, the Quraysh could not maintain that tie and that promises that they had made and agreed upon. They violated those promises miserably and very ruthlessly in cold blood. They had killed people that came under the alliance of Medina Munawwara. Obviously, now that they had violated those promises and agreements, then this had to be checked and corrected. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam wanted to discipline them so that the peace can prevail in that region. And he thought of secretly marching an army against Makkah Mukarramah for the wrong, for the cold-blooded murder, killing people ruthlessly in cold blood. So he had secretly intended to correct them, and an army should be marched into Makkah Mukarramah. In the meanwhile, Hazrat Hatib ibn Abi Balta'a, a leading Sahabi, had participated in Badr. He thought to himself for a moment that I have no folks in Makkah Mukarramah. I come from Yemen, accepted Iman, and then migrated to Medina Munawwara. I have no family, no folks in Makkah Mukarramah that will take care of my wife and my children that are residing in Makkah Mukarramah. So I should be doing some type of an act of kindness that they will take care of my wife and my children. They will not harass them. They will not hurt them. So he secretly wrote up a letter to the people of Makkah Mukarramah, showing them and disclosing to them some of the plans of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, being confident that it will not hurt Nabi sallam in any way. But it was a secret that had to be concealed. He had erred in this, that he had let out the secret, let the people of Makkah Mukarramah know about the plans of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Rasulullah sallam instructed Hazrat Ali, Zubair, Abu Marthad Ghanami Rahmatullah radiyallahu anhum, and Hazrat Zubair radiyallahu anhum, to go and intercept this letter that is carried by a woman at Rosa Ikhaq. This woman will be found at Rosa Ikhaq. She will have that letter of Hatib ibn Abi Balta. That letter has to be intercepted and brought back to Medina Munawwara. These people had sped off their animals, had reached up, had seen that woman, and they had forced her and got the letter out of her. Rasulullah SAW read the contents. Obviously, it was a surprise. Why was Hatib ibn Abi Balta, radiallahu anhu, secretly conversing with these people? He was summoned. Umar radiallahu anhu was naturally disturbed. He wanted to behead him. Rasulullah SAW asked Abu Baltaha, Hatib ibn Abi Balta, what was the purpose? So he says, no, there is no hypocrisy in me. I'm not being dishonest. I just wanted them to take care of my family. And I knew that this letter would not cause any harm to your plan. Anyway, Nabi SAW cautioned him and reminded her, Umar radiallahu anhu, that he is a Badri sahabi. He's been honest. He didn't speak a lie. This was his intention. He has slipped up. And he's made tawbah for this. And Allah Ta'ala has also announced forgiveness for the Badri sahaba ikiram. No matter what they do, then they don't go beyond the scope of forgiveness. It will remain within the scope of forgiveness. In other words, if they commit a wrong, then Allah Ta'ala will forgive them. They will plead for the forgiveness, and Allah Ta'ala will definitely guarantee, Allah Ta'ala has definitely guaranteed their forgiveness, so he should be spared. Nonetheless, these verses were revealed as a lesson for people, for the future, for all people. لا تتخذوا عدوي وعدوكم أولياء. That don't take up my enemy and your enemy as friends, offering them love. And they had also rejected the truth that had come to you. One is you're offering them love, and these people reject the very truth that comes to you, then how can you offer them love? Further, do you consider the fact that these people drive out the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and yourselves from your homes in Makkah Mukarramah just because of you believing in Allah, your Rabb? Remember, you are coming out in striving for my cause, seeking my good pleasure, then how can you show secret love to these people? Whereas I know all that you conceal and you reveal, and whoever does this of you, then he has drifted away from the straight path. So as a cautionary note was given to the believers, that they shouldn't intrigue with the unbelievers. No matter what the circumstance, then you should look for the advantage of the Muslims and Islam at large, not for your personal gains and personal benefit. Though this is a matter of concern, but the greater thing, look at the greater picture, what is the interest of the Muslims and Islam at large? These people, you cannot expect them to be good towards you. Because, إِنْ يَثْكَفُوكُمْ يَكُونُوا لَكُمْ عَدَىٰ. If they have the mastery and control over you, then they will behave with you like enemies, stretching out their hands and their tongues to injure you, and all they desire for is that you should also disbelieve. So this is what they are concealing within their hearts. If they only get the mastery, the upper hand over you, then this is what they are going to do. They're going to harm you with their tongues, with their physical selves. They're going to harm you. And all they desire for you is that you should come back and revert to disbelief. So this is what is in their mind. This is what is in their hearts. Then how can you show love to the unbelievers? Therefore, the rule is that we will deal with unbelievers with kindness, with consideration. And intimate love is only for the true believer, one that is true to Allah Ta'ala, then you will show true love to him. But he cannot be true to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, then how can you have an intimate relationship with that person? Because he was not honest and truthful to Allah Ta'ala, then how can he be truthful and honest in his relationship with you? So that true, intimate, pure, perfect and clean relationship is only with that person who is committed and clean and pure. His relationship is clean with Allah Ta'ala. He is honest and truthful and loyal in his relationship with Allah Ta'ala. Those that aren't loyal and truthful to Allah Ta'ala, today they have betrayed the love with Allah Ta'ala. Tomorrow they will betray the love with you. So how can you show them this type of an intimate, deep-rooted love? Remember, you are doing this for your folks and your family. لَن تَنْفَعَكُمْ أَرْحَامُكُمْ وَلَا أَوْلَادُكُمْ. Your relatives and your children will be of no benefit to you on the day of Qiyamah. He is going to judge between you, and Allah Ta'ala sees well all that you do.